forget frequently asked questions.
Common sense, common knowledge, or Google.
How about advice from a real genius? 95% of people in any profession are good enough to be qualified and licensed. 5%
go above and beyond.
They become very good at what they do, but only
0.1%.
are real geniuses. Richard Jacobs has made it his life's mission to find them for you. He hunts down and interviews geniuses in every field. Sleep science, cancer, stem cells, ketogenic diets, and more. Here come the geniuses. This is the Finding Genius Podcast
with Richard Jacobs.
Hello, this is Richard Jacobs with the Finding Genius Podcast. I'm speaking to Avi Kumar. He's the founder and CEO of Kuware, A-U-W-A-R-E. Kuware Incorporated. They're a marketing and advertising agency that focus on growing businesses through organic and paid media. So we're going to talk about how they do it and what's special about their method. So Avi, thanks for coming.
Thank you, Richard, for having me here.
Yeah, if you would, let's start out with a little bit about your background. How did you get into marketing and advertising?
I've been doing this marketing and advertising for now kind of 18 years. This company has existed for 16 years. Before that, my background is hardcore hardware architecture, working for Intel, Motorola's, Apple, and such. So I moved from there to marketing as we got into more products in those businesses and slowly evolved from doing first e-commerce, which seemed like a little bit more technical, closer to what I understood. Then we started doing a lot more general marketing for a lot of different kind of businesses. So it has evolved over the years. And we are still, our tagline is science of marketing. So we are very numbers and results focused just because of the background.
So yeah, what kind of companies or individuals do you provide marketing to now? Who's your customers?
So now it has two distinct groups. One is kind of a national brands, which is they want big brands. But the one which is kind of has become something which I'm very interested in, we got into it just 3 years back, is for local businesses. And the reason it's interesting is these are our big business. We have been doing that for a while and we still do that. But we found for smaller businesses, the marketing requirements and advertising requirements are actually quite stringent because they don't have money like our big customers to kind of experiment around. If it cannot be done quickly in a month or two, they will not keep the business around and they're tight on money. So that's the one which we have started doing a lot more. And it happened about 3 years back. I acquired a white label agency, Invisible PPC, which was exclusively focused on doing ads for on behalf of other marketing agencies, but for all local businesses. So we already kind of were doing general marketing for everybody. And when we acquired that, we said, you know what, this is an interesting area and how it is done. And it has to be done very cost effectively. And it has its own challenges of managing things very tightly versus experimenting around with the money, the ad budget especially. So that's the area we are doing a lot more work on now, while we still are doing bigger clients as well.
Yeah, that's unusual because I've heard from a lot of marketers that will deal with mom and pops, and then they're frustrated because, you know, they say they have no money, they have no ability to deal with a down month or so, but yet you're focusing on them. What made you decide to do that and how do you make it work?
Yes. So this is where it became interesting. When we acquired the business, we kind of saw that there were 64 niches which were identified as works really well on Google. These are like plumbing, HVAC, chiropractors, and others, which are local businesses, and they work quite well on Google. So we had identified the business I took over, already knew that because they've been around for 12 years doing this. So the way and how it worked versus what most as marketers, we think they don't have money and what will happen. First is our plumbing businesses are from anywhere from $1 million to $20 million companies first. So they're not necessarily that small businesses. Even a small plumbing business, actually, somebody starting out within a year reaches $500,000 or more, by the way, with a single plumber. So that's one assumption people make, that every business, a small business, which especially blue collar businesses, that they're actually not that small. And that's one. And the second is their business actually is dependent on customers coming in every day because they have their labor cost, their equipment cost every day, which if it sits around, costs them a lot of money. So any of those business which are, once they set up the business and they are seriously in business, they actually need kind of, it's like they cannot live without the marketing and advertising in some ways because that's the only way, I mean, they can keep getting continuous business because word of mouth and other ways, I'm going to start a business and eventually it'll be word of mouth. Eventually I'll figure out that just doesn't work for these businesses. They need a continuous stream of phone ringing every day
You know, what's interesting is that, so you can make the pitch to a company, you know, look, instead of having a full-time person that you have to pay benefits and taxes and all this other stuff, you could hire our agency, meaning you, and you only pay for what you use. So it's a lot more efficient for you.
Absolutely. So the ones who try to do in-house, the even the larger ones, if you do in-house, you'll have just one person maybe, right? Maybe two. And any of these things requires, as you know, in marketing, a lot more skills than just what one person can bring to the table. You know, there'll be Google Ads, there'll be website changes that you need to do, the local SEO, and all those, one person, it's hard to do. But that's exactly the, Richard, the pitch you've made is what we tell them, that you calculate how much it is you're going to spend on one or two people for similar money or sometimes a little lesser. You can get a full team working for you. You know, of course, the team works on partial basis. Our each account manager manages multiple accounts, but they are the experts. So, and we are, because if you think it's plumbing, we have hundreds of plumbers, right? So we have so much data which tells us what will work, what will not work, versus somebody in-house trying to figure out that what will work or not work. And especially these are established businesses, or the what you're selling is well understood. So there's no figuring out to do. Like in big marketing, with startups and all the time is spent in figuring out whether what to sell, is it the product, you know, is the market fit and all. There is no such thing here. All that is very well understood. So which means anybody who's been doing it for long with a lot of data can do a lot better than somebody who's just trying to, you know, hire somebody to do it, or your nephew, niece, or somebody trying to do social media will just not work as well.
So what you find that, you know, it's not free, but SEO type activity, organic activity works, or is paid, like pay-per-click works better, or you mix it?
So any business which is doing any reasonable amount of business will requires both, got to do both, and but they will have to rely on ads for growing the business. I mean, it's given. So anybody who's reaching 2 to 10 million or going up there, they have to do ads, because all of these businesses, people search, right? Leaking pipes or sewer repair. And first thing they do is Google search. And when they do Google search, you got to show up. Your organic is great. You can have organic, but if somebody else's ad shows up on top, most people don't even look what they search for. They will just call the first number, right? So if the ad is not there, you miss out that opportunity. So that's where we, of course, the Google My Business, which is the local SEO, major part of their local SEO, showing up there high helps and validates it. But even with that, you still got to do ads for to compete. So the combination is what is needed always. And Google is the major part of it. Then, of course, there's Meta as well. So we do a combination of Google, Meta, and SEO.
Are there times where you do the marketing and it just, for some reason, it just doesn't work?
Yes.
Like interaction?
Yes.
And why?
Yeah. So it's basically, it's not it doesn't work, but the cost of leads might be too high, right? It'll always work. At a given price point, you can always, from Google and from Meta combination, we can give you leads. But sometimes the cost of lead is, you know, for a HVAC company, if it goes up to $300 or $400 and their average job is not there, then you have a problem. This usually happens with very saturated, very competitive market, which might have some companies which are funded by private equity, who are owned by private equity. So they might be really going very hard to capture business. There, the prices for acquisition just does go up. So we do run into that. So you will still get a lead, but it will be expensive. And then usually the answer we have is that, hey, this is what the market is doing right now. We can see others, what they're doing. We have built some competitive tools, which tells us what others are doing. So the best thing a business could do is work on increasing their margins. So you can have a little bit more money for that to sail through the market. That's the only way to deal with that. So it does happen. It's not common though, but it does happen in quite a few markets.
What about the customers themselves? Do they sometimes freak out? Let's say it's been a month or two and they're like, oh, I don't think it's working, and they try to take over, or they try to challenge you or ask you, hey, maybe you should do this.
So in our case, we basically insist on them also doing ads, not doing pure SEO, because this will happen with SEO for sure, right? SEO takes a long time, and it's going to take 2-3 months before they'll see something, but it's not going to be, they will not start seeing free leads coming in within first month. So that's where our approach is that, hey, you got to do both. You got to do ads as well. And what customers are end of the day looking for is that my phone ringing. And if whether it is ringing from SEO or from ads, they don't care how much money I'm spending and what I'm getting for that. And for each call, how much can I make? So as long as that combination works for them, they will kind of leave you alone. Now, there is times when we take over, to just to be fair, that if we took over from some other agency, and that agency was, you know, some of the agencies, they don't hand over all the assets, including the Google Ads account. And if you have to start from scratch. So Google Ads, if you start from scratch, it might take 3-4 weeks to get traction there.
Before we continue, I've been personally funding the Finding Genius podcast for 4.5 years now, which has led to 2,700 plus interviews of clinicians, researchers, scientists, CEOs, and other amazing people who are working to advance science and improve our lives and our world. Even though this podcast gets 100,000 plus downloads a month, we need your help to reach hundreds of thousands more worldwide. Please visit findinggeniuspodcast.com and click on support us. We have 3 levels of membership from $10 to $49 a month, including perks such as the ability to see ahead in our interview calendar and ask questions of upcoming guests, transcripts of podcasts you're interested in, the ability to request specific topics or guests, and more. Visit findinggeniuspodcast.com and click support us today. Now back to the show.
But it's not going to be more than 3-4 weeks, but they will not start getting, you know, leads within first 1 week or two, right? Because Google throttles, even if you put a lot of money in, it'll not let you spend that much money if you're a brand new setup account. So those situations, they might have to wait. But all other cases, I mean, this is one advice I keep giving everybody is please, please own your ad account. Don't let agency own it. If agency comes in, they own it, don't work with them. They are eventually going to hold it hostage when you fire them. So So basically, and Google doesn't want it. Say, actually, Google wants the accounts to be owned by the business owners.
What do they want? Google wants you to come in and what, like, I think it's called the MSA or something?
Yeah, you come in, yeah, you give them as a manager account and you get in as a, we have a MCC or now the Google manager, they keep changing the name. But basically, there is ways you give us access and we have full access, we'll run it, but you own it, right? It should be your credit card, business's credit card on file. And that's other, some agencies will say, oh, we'll run the ads for you. Just give us 3,000 and we'll give you so much needs. Don't do that. You should have transparency on what is the ad spend versus what is the management fees. It should be clear because that way you have a full control on what they're doing or not doing.
Yeah. What do you think is happening if an agency says, give us $3,000 a month, we'll do all the ads for you and everything. How much of that?
The plan there would be is that if the ads, so basically if I was doing that as agency, this is what I'll do. As long as I get enough leads, I'll not spend money on their ads anymore, right? And I'll keep as much money I can. So my incentive is to basically run minimum money on the ads, keep most of the money to myself, right? That's what it is. And the idea is that I'm going to still give you leads, but you just give me money and I'll take care of it without showing you, giving you access to Google Ads account or anything. And so that's the approach. This is actually less common, but the ownership part of not giving ownership of the account is common even with some very large agencies. They insist on 1-year contracts and they will own the account. And in many cases, website too. So when you kind of fire them, they just take everything away.
Right. So are you doing month to month with these small mom and pops? Or what is your agreement, you know, if you're willing to say like what?
Yeah. In our case, we just because we saw the market doing year, we do 3 months and every 3-month renewal, basically. And the idea there is that he kind of need the first 3 months to figure that to get things settled and going. And after that, and also in our, we will let, even though we do this, but first 3 months, anytime a client is unhappy, we let them break the contract because we just don't want to get to a situation where we're just working with them because it's a contract, right? Yeah. So we have actually never had that happen to us, but we went to 3 months because enough of the customers were saying that we will give a discount if you do a yearly contract. But basically they were saying, oh, yearly contract and something doesn't work. I'm stuck with it. And it has happened to me so much. So I said, okay, every 3 months. And after that, I kind of renews everything. So that gives you, because we want some steadiness also from our side instead of month to month, right?
Sure.
So that's we found as a good balance.
So does that work well?
Yes.
You know, the 3 months.
Yeah. So for us, it is, if once they are there for 3 months, they'll be there for years, basically. It just goes on after that, right? Because, this is the best way to describe how the relationship works. So say a plumber in Chicago or client, and they will call us and say, hey, you know, this weekend, we're going to be off. We're taking longer weekend off. Can you stop the phones ringing? So we are not really ringing their phones directly, but they associate what we do directly with their phone ringing so much that they don't call us and say, reduce the ad budget or anything. They just say, can you stop the phones ringing, or our phones have not run enough today? Can you do something about it? That's really the level they talk. And we really like that because they know we are truly part of their business. They're looking at how do we get them business and how the phone is ringing and how much they're closing. Other thing we do, a little bit different from other agencies, we are not the only ones who does this, but we found that's a good practice. We actually follow every call through, listen to every call recording to give them feedback. And then we also follow the revenue pipeline. So we get access to the CRM and we actually show them and collect the data on for each call, how much money you actually ended up making, the ones which converted.
And why is that important? Is that so you can demonstrate that it actually is working, or why?
Yeah, correct. And then the business can directly see the line from the money spent to all the way money made. Mm. And then for us, that tells us the reason it is important to us to listen to the calls is, I mean, here's the example. They might say, oh, we do septic systems. But then a call comes in and somebody asks for septic and their staff says, oh, we don't do septic. And if we were not listening to the call, there'll be many of those missing and we are advertising for septic. Right.
So, okay.
We listen and we say, hey, do you really guys do? They say, oh, no, we don't want those businesses. If you don't want, you should tell us because we are evidently to pick that off, right? You're wasting money on that.
So, you know what surprises me is most businesses don't answer the phone. And even if they're advertising on pay per click, like, I'm very familiar with it. I know what pay per click looks like. I can't tell you how many times I call the plumber or whoever they're paying for pay per click ads and even answer the phone.
Yes.
What's wrong with you?
Yes, correct. And we track that also, unanswered calls and everything, and we push back on them with the clients, right? That we have a requirement that, hey, either if you say 24/7, so there are a lot of these businesses.
What do they tell you, by the way, when a client is not good about answering the phone? Are they usually, is the boss surprised or they give excuses or like, what do they say?
Yeah, so yeah, usually, at least our clients say good and they say, hey, that's way too many. We need to figure out what happened. One case, like they changed the phone system. They were so mad at missing too many calls. The whole phone system got same because phone system was not directing correctly. So the owners are very happy to see that we actually give them a report on how many calls didn't go answered or how long the wait was or how many went to the answering machine and did we follow up or not. We track all that. So it's kind of, we get into their business a little bit on that part and make sure that happens. And it is actually self-serving for us too, because if we can do that in long run, they'll keep us around forever, right?
No, that's excellent. So do you have to tell the businesses, do you have to give them a talk, like a heart-to-heart talk, before you start working with them? How do you qualify them and make sure you're not going to work with someone that's just going to not listen and obfuscate and just be a problem?
So there are two situations where we will fire a business or not work with a business. Of course, probably three. If they stop paying or something, of course, everybody will. That's one. But the two situations are, one, if they are rude or not working very well with our account managers. So we have our account managers can fire any of our businesses. So if they are, which happens sometimes that they are just not, you know, nice to the account manager and not professional. So we value our employees. None of our people are contractors. They're all employees. Even the offshore ones, they're all employees. So that's one thing we don't allow. And then the other one is what you're describing, that if we see that they consistently for a couple of months don't listen and are missing business opportunities, we will usually kind of tell them that we want to move on, because the reality is that if not now, 3-4 months later, we will be fired for sure, because they're going to blame this didn't work, that did. We might as well move on because they're just not doing their part. And then the other scenario which you described, not answering phone, sometimes it happens is the people who are answering phone, they're just not very good. Then we do give them feedback, hey, get them some training. We don't do the training, but we recommend get your salespeople answering phone some training and get them. Our other scenario is what we call a wrong service call, where if they want to get a competition call, if it is a ABC HVAC, and the call is for XYZ, and we might be intentionally advertising XYZ, if their person picking up the phone and says wrong number, they just wasted an opportunity, right?
Mm.
So they need to be smart enough to say, yeah, we are not XYZ, but oh, we are HVAC too.
Oh, interesting. And that gets business, that works. Yeah. That's funny. So how much, I know every business is different, everything's different, what is a possible result from your work? I mean, how much have you been able to improve some businesses?
So usually, even with the some who've been just working with big box agencies, et cetera, even in those, because they do follow certain level of standardization, even with those, we are able to drop the cost per acquisition on 30-50%. So that's a good med, and if they were doing it in-house, then we could really halve their acquisition cost easily. But otherwise, we'll be able to drop it from wherever they were. That's the one measure, that whatever you're paying for acquiring a real customer, paying customer, which us coming in, we can drop that cost is one. And the second one is many customers who are, their problem, the growing customer says, I want more calls. I want even more. I'm getting 2 more trucks. Can he get me that volume? The challenge there is now you're trying to own the whole market. So the cost of acquisition goes up, right? If you're competing in the same market and you just want to own, get a lot more. So that's the other one. That's the other measure which we look at. Those are the situations we start diversifying and going more to meta and using third party like Yelp and others, a combination of everything. That's how we get them the volume, because they're really interested in the volume, even if the cost goes up a little bit.
Has there been an industry that or a business you just couldn't help? Like everything you did just, and it seemed like they were cooperating, which just didn't work.
Yes. So the painting businesses, we have had trouble sometimes in some areas, because when they say, oh, we're going to do only the business set, we want only exterior painting jobs, and we want only in this outskirts of Houston, just this area. So there's not enough calls specifically for, or, I mean, they're expensive basically, if there are few, because he's competing for those. So those ones are the ones where we kind of said, it's just not going to work, what you're trying to do. Their reasoning was that it's more margins outside. They said, we can do inside, but we don't want to do it. So,
So
there are situations like that where just basically it comes down to the cost per acquisition. Is it palatable to them at that point in that market where they are? And that's, if it is not, then it will not work.
What kind of industries do you work with? You know, people listening, if they're a plumber, it sounds like you work with them. Like, what are your top industries?
Any of the local service businesses is the big ones for us right now. So which means it can be a chiropractor, doctor, anything. Either they come to your office or you go to their home, Those businesses locally is what we work with right now.
Okay. And you could work with people all over the U.S.? Like what's the criteria in terms of location?
Yes. Yeah. All over U.S. And we have a few in Canada as well, customers.
Okay. What would be a minimum budget in order for your work to be effective? Like what's the ballpark?
But if they're going to do ads, they're going to spend at least, so the lowest level of engagement will be, we got a website, we got everything, just kind of manage our ads more effectively. So that will require them to spend a couple of thousand a month on ads. And then our management fees of $995, kind of, so $2,000 to $3,000 a month is what they need to have for acquisition minimum, including everything. Yeah. On the higher end, some of our clients are spending like $100,000 or more on the ad spend.
Oh, wow.
So, but that's on the lower end, that's where it ends up, a couple of thousand.
For a small business, like a plumber, let's say they're up, $1 to $2 million, top line revenue, does this online marketing, is this like the lion's share of all their marketing?
Yes.
Or is it just a small piece of everything they do?
Yes, this is it. For if you are plumber, HVAC, if you're a home service business, this is the way to get leads. Now, the only other closest thing would be is what we call third party. You can go to Angie and others and just ask them to sell you leads. So when they buy leads, the problem is most of the lead selling companies, they sell the same lead to multiple. So if you get to the call first and if you got the deal, you got the deal, but you paid for the lead anyway, right? And so that's where having your own ad running, even at the lower level, is much better because it's your lead. Nobody else is touching it.
That's good. Yeah. Okay. So companies resell leads. How many people?
I don't know exactly, but we have had multiple instances of customers coming to us and saying, oh, this happened, but then they were already sold. They told us, oh, got this. So that's where we said, just watch for that kind of a thing.
You know, we spoke to this customer and they said four other companies called them in the past 5 minutes or something.
Yeah. As soon as I filled the form, I got calls from three other companies, right?
Yeah, that sucks when that happens. Interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, those situations, and no, they sell the leads cheaper, of course, right? They seem cheaper, but they're not cheaper when you look at the fact that you're competing immediately.
Okay. Do you think most marketing agencies, could they do a good job? They just don't. Is there for what you do, is there any secret sauce or is it just, honest, continual application of good principles?
Yeah, that's what it is. There is no secret sauce. It does require some time for marketing agency to learn exactly how to do ads, the market, what does it work for, which kind of a thing. So that's one. So have continuous systems and all. So if they're a newer agency, they're learning, that might be the reason they might not do as well. And they're just trying to do it, they're just starting out. The larger agencies, they have a little different problem. They have systemized it too much and they want to fit everybody in their cookie cutter system. That's how their margins work. And the main complaint we get from those agencies is I have actual instances of somebody who's in a contract with a large agency and they tell us, I want to leave, but they're not letting us leave. I don't care. I'll pay them also 5 months. I'll keep paying them money, but can you take over? We hate them so much because they don't talk to us. They don't respond to when we ask them questions. And of course, for us, it's great to hear. Why is the market like this, right?
That's terrible.
Yeah, but that's actually happens quite often. So what we do is, in that situation, we recommend to them is that basically reduce your budget or whatever to the lowest level of spending. So you don't
do that,
and we'll take over, right?
I had a, I won't say the name, but I had a CRM that was so bad and they kept switching account managers on me. And after a little while, the account manager would reach out and I said, I despise your company. The second I can leave you, I will. And I tell everyone I know that you're the worst company on earth. And they're like, okay. And they left us alone. But it's because they were just such bastards then. I hated them, you know, so I understand what you're saying. That's a horrible way to be, you know. Imagine that the only way you can keep your customers by, like, you know, putting a gun to their head.
Yeah.
They despise you, you know?
Correct. And then the larger companies, they have that's where when people ask us, hey, I have been burned by other companies, you were going to really hold us. I said, well, we are not really small, but we are not the kind of a company who does business by lawyers who will enforce the contracts, because that's just not worth being in a business, and just because legally you are bound for a year, keep collecting money.
Right. One of the last questions I wanted to ask you is, what is it like to work with large brands versus these smaller moms and pops? Like, what are the challenges that large brands have?
Yeah. So the large brands or startups, or sometimes the large brands who have startup companies within them with a lot of money. So the challenges there is the small brands, it's very, very, very satisfying, by the way, working with them, because the owners, they kind of love you. Like, when things are working and you're delivering for them, they know the business is dependent. So it's that satisfaction level is very, very high, right? And with the large brand, the challenges are interesting because it's a brand new product, brand new service they're launching. They want to go into a new area. Their budgets are high, right? So there's a lot of money. We've been actually fired by a client because they wanted us to spend, it was like $500,000 a month on ads. And I was not willing to, and this was because it was a large enough client, so I was personally involved. I was not willing to spend more than $200,000 because we were losing money. And they said, why you have not spent all the money? And we said, well, it's not profitable. And so that's sometimes the large brand problem is a very different kind of problem that they just want. And we were making 15% on that $500,000. So by spending that money, we would have made even more money, but it was just not making sense to us, right? Mm. So it's a very different kind of a problem. And I wish I had understood that, of course. We were just spending the money, right? Because they just want to, because they were funded by a big thing. They needed to spend their money basically to get the next round. So those are weird problems, if you will, right? And if they have a startup, the challenges is that, initially it was very dissatisfying for a while for us when we were working with startups, when 80% of them actually didn't succeed. We started questioning early days that do we suck as marketers, you know? But then what changed that is that the same startups or the same VCs who were funding those companies, when they got the new funding for the next company, they called us as a marketing agency. That confirmed to us that we did everything right. It was just not the right product at the right time and the right price. Something was off about the product or thing. Because it was that.
It is hard.
Yeah.
Sometimes you feel like, you'll never get another customer, and then you get another one. And then you feel like you'll never get another customer, and then you get another one. It's weird.
That's where things. And of course, they require more time and energy and everybody larger ones. But there is they're different kind of budget is not an issue. You don't have to question about the tool. Just get whatever you need to get. Just do it.
Right. Okay. So how can people get in touch with you to get help?
Kuware.com, KUWARE.com is the best way to go there. And I can fill a form. If you want to reach me directly, it's just avi@kuware.com, just send email and I will respond or get you in touch with the right person depending on what you need help with.
And what does Kuware stand? What does it mean? Like, where does the name come from?
So it's a Kumarware, short for Kumarware.
Awesome.
Yeah, this is a long time ago when I started my undergrad. I had a small kind of a product company and I needed something quickly. So I just named it Kumarware at that time. And then I kept it along the way.
You can joke and say you do brand awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Okay. Well, very good, Avi. Well, it's great to talk to you, and thank you so much for coming to the podcast. And, it sounds like it's very reasonable what you're doing. So, if listeners are interested, they should definitely go to kuware.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Good talking to you as well.
If you like this podcast, please click the link in the description to subscribe and review us on iTunes.
You've been listening to the Finding Genius Podcast with Richard Jacobs. If you like what you hear, be sure to review and subscribe to the Finding Genius podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And want to be smarter than everybody else? Become a premium member at FindingGeniusPodcast.com. This podcast is for information only. No advice of any kind is being given. Any action you take or don't take as a result of listening is your sole responsibility. Consult professionals when advice is needed.